couple of days ago, the Lord brought me back to something the Lord gave me on Sunday, December 31st, 2017. It's the prodigals are coming home. It goes, the prodigals are coming home again, ka-ching, ka-ching. The prodigals are coming home again, cha-ching, cha-ching. They're returning to Father's house, causing you to cheer and shout, the prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home again, ka-ching, ka-ching. The prodigals are coming home again, ka-ching, ka-ching. I have heard prayers, I've heard the prayers you have prayed for them, and I have answered them. The prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home again, ka-ching, ka-ching. The prodigals are coming home again, cha-ching, ka-ching. Don't be moved by what you see. I'm working behind the scenes. The prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home again, cha-ching, cha-ching. The prodigals are coming home again, cha-ching, cha-ching. No more sadness as they walk away. This time they will stay. The prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home again, ka-ching, ka-ching. The prodigals are coming home again, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. In 2018, you will see all the things you have asked of me. The prodigals are coming home. I don't think that just means persons. I think it means things that maybe we've stood for a long time. Finally, the walls have fallen down. And they've come home to stay. What's rightfully ours? Okay. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut, and that song is part of that. Sunday morning, April the 29th, 2018. This word is called the Hour of Power. Fear not, be of good courage, I'm at work in the earth. I'm bringing down their towers by my great power, and it will be like they have never been. I'm doing a thorough work, purging throughout the earth. Keep up the vigil by Holy Ghost prayer. Prayer is the power behind it all, and it will pave the way for all wickedness to fall. Take heart today. Don't fall apart. I've already answered you the victory, or already assured you the victory. What the enemy has plotted and spoke in secret will be shouted. Yes, I said, shouted from the highest places throughout the land. Men will turn to me in droves as I uncover Satan's plans. They will be sheep without shepherds looking for someone to lead them, and this is where my church comes in. My new church, a purge church, a church full of Holy Ghost power to show forth my goodness in this hour in demonstration. Not just in words, but in power. Take courage. It's only victory from here on out. Time to shout. The walls have fallen. Take the land. And a side note here, as I was reading this, came to me. Satan's plan before the election, October 28th, was to stage a false flag event, possibly the alien disclosure invasion, so that the election would be suspended and Obama would institute martial law. And I spoke that to you earlier about how they would make it look so real that 99.99999% to the millionth power would be deceived by it. See, a big production, Hollywood show. And here the Air Force would rise to the occasion and confront the aliens. You know, it's just a big old stage show to manipulate the narrative. The second word is God has no one-man shows. It'll be okay, I guess. As the prophet, pastor, teacher of Abundant Grace Fellowship, I can't do it all. It is scriptural to have more than one ministry gift in the church. Now let's look at this. This is Acts chapter 13. verse 1. Now in the church assembly at Antioch, there were prophets, inspired interpreters of the will and purposes of God, and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Black, Lucius, a Cyrene, man, a member of the court of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. They were worshiping. They were in the assembly. They were having church. There was prophets and teachers present. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate now for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." Then after fasting and praying, they put their hands on them and sent them away. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 26. What then, brethren, is the right course? When you meet together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a disclosure, special knowledge or information, an utterance in a strange tongue or an interpretation of it. But let everything be constructive and edifying and for the sake of all, or for the good of all. If some speak in a strange tongue, let the number be limited to two or at the most three, and each one taking his turn, and let one interpret, explain what is said. But if there is no one to do the interpreting, let each of them keep still in church and talk to himself and to God. So let two or three prophets speak, thus inspired to preach or teach, while the rest pay attention and weigh and discern what is said. But if an inspired revelation comes to another who is sitting by, then let the first one be silent. In other words, don't be a blabbermouth thinking so much of your own self. This is my gift, bless God, I'm so blessed to God, you know, everybody needs to hear what I have to say. No, he's deferring. One by one, people were get up saying this, get up saying that, but they weren't being prideful and thinking they had so much to say that they just took over everything. I've been, you know, it seems to be a problem. We see deference here. It's not about a single person's gifts or anointings. It's about having what God has to say come forth in humility with people deferring to one another. Among the fivefold and among the body, not just fivefold. Deference, it's respect or esteem due a superior or an elder, our regard for one another. What I have to say is important, but what you have to say is equally as important. So let me step aside. I can't tell you the churches I've been in, really, that, well, I can, but anyway, I won't, where they had a missionary from somewhere, and, you know, or ministers present, they didn't defer to him. It was like, no, I have what I have to have, and it's more important than anything you could ever say or do or whatever, you know, we're going to do it. That's wrong. That's wrong thinking. What if the Lord wants them? What if he had them that day? I would think if you were supporting a missionary that you would want to have them come and say, this is one of the ministries that you support here. Let's hear what he's having to say. What's God doing there in that other country or whatever, you know? Deference, respect or esteem due a superior or an elder, regard for another, their giftings. I can only flow in the anointings God has graced me with. Why should I struggle to do what you are anointed to do? That means you're going to have to step up and quit being so timid and shy about things sometimes. Defer to the one who is anointed to do it at the time. Now in Acts chapter 8, we see this. They didn't steal the show. They called for people that were anointed in the area that they needed and let them perform. There was no competition. It was about the will of the Lord being done. Now, oh, it's going to hurt my feelings if some other preacher gets up there and does better than I do, and they like him and they or her, and they laugh with what they say. You'd be surprised how many probably feel that way. Nobody can do as good as me. Well, I know better. All right. Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles, special messengers at Jerusalem, heard that the country of Samaria had accepted and welcomed the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. They came down and prayed for them that the Samaritans might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they'd gotten born again and baptized. Why didn't they just go ahead and pray for them to be filled with the Holy Ghost? They sent the experts in, the ones that had that anointing. Now, Danny Love has an anointing on getting people filled with the Spirit. I've seen him do it many times. Why should I struggle with it when he's anointed to do it? This is not about a competition. This is about letting God's anointings flow in the body so everyone's blessed. Okay? I think a lot of times in churches that we're not taught this way, and so everybody thinks the pastor does it all. And they never do anything, and they're not geared to doing anything. They need to be stirred up to do these things. Okay, we're all graced in a certain place in the body of Christ. We need everyone, whether it be laymen or fivefold ministers. God's way is not the traditional way where the pastor does it all. I think there's not prophets on board because I've heard people say pastors and prophets a lot of times clash because of the type of ministry. And I said, that's why the Lord's had to raise up combination gifts. I'm not the only one that's pastor, prophet, teacher, or whatever, prophet, pastor, teacher. I'm not the only one. There's many in the body of Christ today, unknowns like me, that are the same way that God has raised up. But it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that the pastor would be jealous of the prophet, or vice versa. That's not the way the Lord meant it to be. He meant for all these anointings to flow together to get what he wanted to say to the people done in demonstration and in power. This isn't a power struggle. This is not a utopia thing. This is not like the world system that they got to have power. No. Wrong thinking. Okay, God's way is not the traditional way where the pastor does it all. There has to be someone in charge, but the pastor is referred to as an overseer, one who keeps things on track like an orchestrator. I need to be up here while y'all are flowing in your gifts, saying, yeah, I encourage you to do it. Okay? Here's what the fivefold ministry is for. Ephesians 4 says, to train you to do the work of the ministry. That's what the fivefold ministry gifts are for, to teach the people out there to do the work of the ministry. They realize their giftings, and they flow in their giftings. When the Holy Spirit moves on you, step up. Don't grieve him. If it's the Holy Spirit, we all need to hear it. Moses had a wise father-in-law. This is Exodus 18. There was a time where Moses was judging people. It's all coming to him. And he was worn out. He said, you take too much on yourself. So they appointed these men. I think there was 100 of them or something like that. And the anointing was passed down on them, so to speak, to where they could judge small things, and big things came to Moses. He said, it's not wise to take the whole load on yourself. I'm not anointed to do everything. Everybody is anointed to do something. And the Lord wants each of us to flow in our own anointings. That's when we're going to reach the full pinnacle. How many times you've gone to church, you didn't see what you wanted, and you just didn't go back? Well, if everybody was flowing in their gift, maybe you would fit better. Because if we're the body of Christ, we should be able to fit with others like us and not feel that, like there's just something not right here, or there's, you know. The pastor can only do what the pastor can do. So everybody, the Lord wants us all to flow together because he doesn't have any one-man shows. We are a body. If your head's the only thing that operates, that's a paraplegic. Okay.